Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Procession of Palms. Behold, the Lord hath made it to be heard in the ends of the earth. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy Savior cometh. He is poor and riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Now the Passover was at hand, and many from the country went up to Jerusalem before the Passover in order to purify themselves. And they were looking for Jesus. And they stood in the temple and were saying to one another, "What do you think, that he is not coming to the feast?" But the chief priests of the temple had given orders that if anyone knew where Jesus was, he should report it, so that they might seize him. And they sent out their spies that they might discover where Jesus was. At Jerusalem, Caiaphas summoned his chief scribe to him.
"You sent for me, Caiaphas?"
"Yes, Abner. Have you any news of Jesus?"
"I have indeed. After hiding out in the wilderness, he now appears openly. Defiantly, I would say, at Bethany."
"What? He's less than 2 miles from the temple."
"At this very moment, he's at the house of Simon the leper, and with him is Lazarus, whom, as you know, he raised from the tomb."
"Do the people know of this?"
"I have a feeling they do. I stood at the gate and watched many leave, headed for Bethany."
"We can no longer tolerate this man. If we let him alone, as he is, all will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation."
"Pilate will be here for the Passover?"
"Yes. He may arrive tonight, tomorrow at the latest. We're determined that if Jesus decides to enter the city, it will be his last visit."
"It's but 6 days before the feast. Feeling is running high. There's an air of expectancy. Whisperings among the people."
"Yes, yes, I know. I would like very much to take Jesus quietly before the feast. Have the matter settled.
That's going to be difficult. He's heavily guarded by the Galileans who would like nothing better than to see him proclaimed king and drive out the Romans.
Could you arrange to plant a spy within his camp so we know in advance what his plans are?
I doubt if that can be done. However, I think there's a way to get the information.
How? By all means, tell me.
As you know, he's surrounded by 12 whom he has chosen as his disciples, or apostles, as he calls them.
Yes, yes, that's common knowledge.
I believe that one of these 12 has not been chosen wisely. Now, that is, from Jesus' point of view.
What do you mean?
I've made a thorough study of every man. I've investigated them before they came to Jesus. In my reports, you will find intimate details of their lives. 11 of these would give their lives for Jesus, but...
Who is the 12th?
Judas Iscariot. I think he can be reached.
Why do you think so? We have to be sure.
Well, first, he's the only one who's not a Galilean. He's Judean, and I think the others have made him aware of his unique position. He's also the treasurer of the group. He's the best educated of the 12 and of a questioning nature. Where the others accept Jesus by faith, he's a businessman, a former administrator, and inclined to be hard-headed about everything, including miracles. He's a moderate man, not given to extreme.
Why then does he throw in his lot with this radical who would trample our traditions in the dust?
Oh, I suppose when he saw Jesus could gather people to him, he joined with the idea that if the movement ever amounted to anything, he would be in a good position. But times dragged on. Judas seems bored with these endless miracles that make the ignorant gape but get the disciples no place. He once confided in me.
Ah, then you have talked to him. Recently?
I had an interesting talk with him that day Jesus spoke at Capernaum, right after feeding a lot of people. The day so many turned from him over the question of what Jesus termed the bread of life, himself, in fact, which he invited people to eat. I was watching Judas. He seemed embarrassed. It was then I got the idea he might be useful to us. He confided to me then that Jesus had missed his opportunity when the crowd tried to proclaim him king.
Yes, I recall the incident. You may be sure we amplified the report when sending it on to Pilate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get to Bethany. Keep your eyes and ears open. And see if you can approach this, what's his name?
Judas.
This Judas. Tell him he'll be paid if he'll tell us where we can find Jesus alone at night.
I regret this in a way. When I think of what Jesus might have been had he come with us and worked through the official organization for our nation.
We have no choice, Abner. He's forced us into a position where we have to acknowledge him as the Messiah or deny him and execute him for blasphemy. He forced the issue, not I.
I've gone over all the evidence. In effect, he's blasphemed. But in technical point of the law, I'm not so sure we have a case.
Then we'll bring a political charge against him and force Pilate to act. This I would prefer. Let the people vent their anger against the Romans. But one way or another, he must die.
Bethany is a village at the foot of Mount Olivet, and the name means Village of Dates, so called because of the groves of date palms surrounding it. Here in the house of Simon, brother-in-law of Lazarus, Jesus reclined at the table, surrounded by friends. Quietly the door opened, and Mary, sister of Lazarus, entered the room and unnoticed by anyone, made her way to Jesus.
Peter, what is that?
What, Judas?
That odor. Can't you smell it?
Oh, yes, perfume. It's a very delightful perfume. I wonder where it is.
It's spikenard. Very rare and expensive.
Look, it comes from there.
Hmm?
That woman who anoints the master. She has a jar out.
Woman, you! Woman! Stop! Stop! What's the meaning of this, woman? Woman! This jar of ointment is worth at least 300 denarii.
Why do you trouble her?
Why was this ointment not sold and the money given to the poor?
She has done me a good turn.
But with 300 denarii, we could buy food for the poor.
The poor you have always with you. But you do not always have me. For in pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it for my burial.
Master, your burial.
Let her be. Amen, I say to you, wherever in the whole world this gospel be preached, this also that she has done shall be told in memory of her.
No. Very well, Master.
Judas, where are you going?
Make my excuses, Peter. I'm going to get some air.
Judas, don't leave in anger. The Master was not talking to you alone, but to all of us.
Isn't he the one always talking about helping the poor? Yet he permits a woman to pour perfume at 300 denarii a jar over his head. Just let me be, Peter. A walk will do me good. Judas? Who calls me?
I?
Abner. What are you doing here?
Need you ask? You know the Sanhedrin has charged me with keeping track of Jesus.
Yes. I guessed as much.
I confess the assignment interests me. I have a normal man's curiosity. I'm a bit like you, Judas.
What do you mean by that? What do you know of me? Or of my thoughts?
I'm like you in this. If Jesus is the Messiah, I'd want to be on the winning side. You would be the first to agree that if he's the Messiah, there's no need for us. That is, the priests.
Precisely.
You may be sure Caiaphas realizes that. But Judas, if he's not the Messiah, then what? Now don't tell me you've not considered that possibility.
I must confess I have considered it at times.
Of course, if you're positive, you'd be a fool to leave him. Huh. Are you? A positive?
I've seen him do many things which would seem to indicate...
That he's a minor prophet or a man gifted with great power. But that's a long step to the Messiah. Well, you take the feeding of the 5,000. Moses did that and more. Or take this recent incident of Lazarus.
The man was in the tomb 4 days.
That could have been managed. They're good friends. Couldn't Lazarus have retired to the tomb and just... gone to sleep for 4 days?
Jesus at first said, Lazarus, our friend, sleeps. Then when we said, if he sleeps, he will be safe, Jesus changed his story to one of Lazarus being dead.
Just my point. You notice all along, Jesus doesn't come out and say he's the Messiah. He performs a miracle, makes a great to-do about not wanting anyone to be told about it. As if a leper cured could be hidden. Then he lets the people say that he's this, that, and the other. It's a safe policy. But if Jesus is the Messiah,
Why doesn't he come out and say so? You know what I think, Judas?
What, Abner?
He's never going to declare himself. Why? Because he knows he's merely the son of a carpenter and a woman of Nazareth, born into the world the same as you and I, but will not die of old age like ourselves.
Why do you say that?
Judas, you're a reasonable man, one who can look at a ledger and see profit or loss at a glance.
You didn't stop me to praise my eyes. What's on your mind, Abner?
Very well, then, to business. You realize Jesus is doomed.
Strange you should speak of it.
How so?
I have the feeling that Jesus himself thinks so, too. A few moments ago, a woman anointed him. I objected to the waste. Abner, she had a jar of ointment worth 300 denarii and poured it over his head as if it were water. I objected, and he rebuked me in front of the whole room, saying that she was preparing him for burial.
What? Are you sure he suspects?
Oh, come, Abner, you just told me I'm no fool. You've trailed Jesus for months trying to trap him into saying something which would condemn him. He was always ahead of you, as if he could read your thoughts. His death has been only a question of time, with the Sanhedrin setting the time. When's it to be, Abner?
I see we understand each other. The time when we can take him quietly so as not to disturb the people. But it must be before the feast.
That is wise.
So, if someone would come to us and say, on such and such a night, Jesus will be without his Galileans at such and such a place?
Yes.
That man would be paid for his words. I have to get back to the city, Judas. If you know of anyone who would like to earn some money, will you pass the word? I can always be reached at the home of the high priest.
The news that Jesus was at Bethany with Lazarus spread, and the people poured out from Jerusalem to welcome him and to march with him into Jerusalem. And they surrounded the house and were joined by bands of pilgrims who had come from all corners for the Passover. And earlier that morning, Jesus, knowing what was in store for him, spoke to his disciples.
Go into the village opposite you, and immediately on entering it, you will find a colt tied, upon which no man has yet sat. Loose it and bring it.
But won't the owner object to us taking his animal?
Should anyone say to you, what are you doing? You will say that the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it.
Come, Judas, let you and I go for the colt.
Why me? Don't relish this. We'd look foolish if we were taken before the magistrate and charged with stealing a colt.
We risk our very lives now for being with the master. Why concern yourself with the fear of arrest for stealing? But have no fear. The owner will not object when he knows what the colt is for.
Just what is it for?
I don't know.
Are you sure? The master confides in you and the others. Not in me, however.
Judas, that's not true. He treats us all alike. But of late, you're the one who kept to yourself.
It's you who has always said, when we questioned, that the master had a purpose in everything he did, no matter how strange it might seem to us.
Yes. Yes, I have, Judas. And it's true. Judas, I know the purpose. Come, let us hurry.
Peter, what is it? You realize something. Your face went white.
The scripture.
The scripture, Isaiah. Remember the passage? Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king comes to thee meek and seated upon a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Judas, we're at the brink of great events. I feel that the time has come. Before this Passover is finished, Jesus will reveal unto us all that he has promised. Come. Come, Judas. Don't look so downcast.
I see nothing but trouble ahead, Peter. Fighting and bloodshed. Yes, now indeed his words come home to me. Do not think that I have come to send peace upon earth. I have come to bring a sword, not peace. And brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child.
Yes, yes, all that he said. But also, he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me.
Cross? What does he mean by cross? But whatever. It's a harsh saying, Peter. Can't you understand me when I say there will be trouble? Trouble such as Jerusalem has never known before. If
what, Judas?
If we find this colt, and he rides it into Jerusalem, with the people knowing the significance of the animal.
Look, there's the she-ass and her foal, just as he said we would find it.
And brought it to Jesus. And when it was seen that he was to mount it, a disciple spread a cloak on the colt's back. And the people spread their cloaks on the road. But many ran to the palm grove and cut branches and put them along his path. And this they did. And in the doing of it, were they fulfilling the words of the scripture.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you out of the house of the Lord. The Lord is God and has shone upon us. Appoint a solemn procession with leafy branches, even to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I give thanks to thee. My God, I extol thee with praises. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Out of control. Listen to them.
Hosanna! Hosanna!
We avail nothing. Behold, the entire world has gone after him. If ever I had any misgivings of what course I must take, my duty to my people now is clear. It is expedient for us that one man die for the people instead of the whole nation perishing. Did you see Judas?
Yes.
Will he deliver Jesus to us?
He did not promise, but neither did he refuse. there lies Jerusalem. Shall we enter by the Golden Gate?
O Jerusalem, if thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart about thee, and surround thee, and shut thee in on every side, and will dash thee to the ground and thy children within thee, and will not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation.
And he went into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked on all things, then, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And in the city, Abner the scribe conferred with Caiaphas the high priest throughout the night.
Now everything is understood, Abner. You will proceed with the utmost caution.
Of course.
As the hour is late, I suggest... What is it?
Someone's coming.
At this hour? Oh, it is the watch. Open it, Abner. I am Caiaphas, high priest. Why do you call at this hour?
I am Judas Iscariot.
Listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymore for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymore. Attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need. Please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymore, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.